March 3rd, 2015.
In Shulchan Aruch, we assume that Taina says there never was Medivri Kabbalah. Tisha B'av and Shivasa B'Tammuz and Asar B'Tevis and some Gedalia used to be Medivri Kabbalah. Medivri Kabbalah means that the Nevi'im instructed us that we should fast on these Tanais. Then the Gemara says, B'zman Azeh, the observance of all of these Taneisim, Tisha B'av, Asar B'Tevis, so on, is no longer Medivri Kabbalah. It's only Tisha B'av is only Medivri Rabbanan, and the other Taneisim depend on Rotzim, Misanim, Rotzim. Misanim, it's optional. But Taina says there was never Medivri Kabbalah. It was never included in that Pasuk in Zechariah, Tzom Arviv, Tzom Ashviv, Tzom Achamishi, and so on. So that's why it says in Shulchan Aruch, to be permitted, it's a minig. Taina says there's a minig. So it says in Shulchan Aruch that how sick does a person have to be that he shouldn't have to fast on Tisha B'Av? How sick does a person have to be that he shouldn't have to fast on Yom Kippur? So Yom Kippur is a din min haTorah. So to violate the Issa deraisa of eating on Yom Kippur, you have to be a chayla with at least a safek sakana, or worse. To eat on a tainus midirabbanon, every so often the Tanoim used to make a xeris tainus when there was no rain, or there was a wartime, or there was an epidemic, a disease or something. So the Bezna would be goes a tainus, and that would be a tainus midirabbanon. So the Mishnah is saying, in order to be permitted to eat on a tainus midirabbanon, you have to be a chol l'sheim b'sakonim. You don't have to be a chol l'sheish b'sakonim, chol l'sheim b'sakonim. Chol l'sheim b'sakonim means a person who has a condition that prevents him from functioning normally. Normally he'd be able to walk around and go to work and be active and function. And because he's fasting, he can't function. So that permits one to eat on Tisha B'Av and the other Tanais. And because Tisha B'Av, one is obligated to fast midirabbanon, and the other Tanaisim, Tzom Gedalia, Asar B'Tevis, even with the Rabbanon, you're not mechuyev to fast. The Gemara says, Mikra din today, it's Rosim Mitzanim Rotzim. Mitzanim, it's optional. But we follow the Halachas Gedolos, the Bahag, Bal Halachas, those who write, like Kfashav Yuhu, Alayu Choyvo. Klal Yisrael have accepted it upon ourselves as a minig to fast. It's not that it started off as a minig. It started off as a chiyev tonis with the Kabbalah. But Bizman Azeh, it's optional. Rotzim Mitzanim, Rotzim Mitzanim, and Bizman Azeh, Asar B'Tevis, some Gedalia is only totally in the minik, but it's a minik to fast based on a Dira Kabbalah that used to be. So the Gemara says, therefore, you're a little more lenient on Asar B'Tevis and Shivasa B'Tamas than on Tisha B'Av. In what sense are you more lenient? On Asar B'Tevis, Shivasa B'Tamas, we declare automatically every woman who's Muberis or Manika, any woman who's pregnant or nursing, is automatically declared as a Cholu Shem B'Sakana. We don't have to look into the details to see whether she's bouncing around, whether she's healthy or not. On Tisha B'Av, the Muberis and Manika have to fast unless they really are Chol Hashem B'Sakana. Sometimes they're throwing up the whole day. Sometimes they're so weak and they're so in pain that they're not able to function normally. So that's literally Chol Hashem B'Sakana. But on Tainus Esther, it says in the Ramoa, Tainus Esther began as a minik. It was never a chi of Medivri Kabbalah, it began as a minik. That's why it says in Shulchan Aruch, I feel a koh ve'einayim. If a person doesn't feel well, if a person is really chol sheim v'sakana, then he's potter from fasting on Taina Sester, like the other Tanais. But if he's not chol sheim v'sakana, he just has slight aches and pains, so then we allow him to eat on Taina Sester, but he should be mashlim, he should fast on a different time. If a person is really chol sheim v'sakana on Tisha B'Av, he doesn't have to be mashlim another day. That's the halacha, chol sheim v'sakana doesn't have to fast. But over here, if the person is kavei naim, he has pain in his eyes from fasting. I don't know exactly how that stims. His eyes hurt because he's fasting, but it doesn't prevent him from functioning normally. So Mikir Adin, he really would have had to fast on any other tannis. That's not called a Chol Hashem B'Sakana. That's a Bari with a Mechesh B'Yalmo. So then, because fasting on Tainus Esther is only a Minig, so we're Mekel that he can fast a different day instead. But what is it going to help if he's going to eat? No, what it means is Kovei Nine because he's fasting, and if he'll eat, then he won't have the cave, then he won't have the pain. If Ben Kovako is going to have the pain, then it's not, then there's no reason that we should permit him to eat. I think the Pashtus means that the fasting is affecting his eyesight. We have such a din, but again, to waiting 6 hours after having a fleshik. So to wait 6 hours is a minik. It's an old minik, mentioned in the Gemara, that you shouldn't have milchiks until the next meal. We learned in Chula and in Perikol HaBazar. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes the Chasam Sefer, who says that if the person has a bellyache, and they think it doesn't prevent them from functioning normally, he has slight aches and pains. They think that if he'll have, let's say years ago people used to have ulcers, and they used to have pain. It wasn't excruciating pain that prevented them from functioning normally. And they used to think years ago that if you have warm milk, that's going to help alleviate the pain. I don't know if it did, but that's what they thought. Now they have a different cure for ulcers. So the Chasam Sefer says you're allowed to have warm milk within 6 hours because it's only a minig not to have milchiks within 6 hours. So to be matar a minig is enough if it's a bari with a mechesh bialma. So the Kafar Chaim adds on, but what about to wait 1 hour between fleshiks and milchiks? That could be that that's based on a Zohar. That could be that that's a real Issa de Rabbanon. So he recommends to be matar to have milchiks within an hour. Then the first hour after fleshiks, that you should only allow if the fellow is really a Chol Hashem Misakana. That's if the pain that he has prevents him from functioning normally. But the next 5 hours of the 6 hours, that's only a minig to begin with. So that if a bari with a mechesh bialmo is already enough to be mekel. The minig always was that says in Shulchan Aruch the Gemara in the beginning of Brochus, in the first paragraph of Brochus, the Gemara says the ikir schar for attending a public shir is, the Gemara assumes everyone's going, the shir is going to go in one ear and out the other ear. They're going to forget the shir. So the ikir schar you get is not so much for paying attention for the shir. The ikir schar is because you're sitting in an uncomfortable position, the doichek, because you deserve reward for sitting bitchak. Everybody's sitting on top of everybody else. Then the Gemara says, the ikas char for attending a wedding is this. And the ikas char for fasting on a tainis is not so much for the fasting. The Gemara says it's the fact that you give tzedakah. Agra the taineso, tzidkaso. The schar that you deserve for fasting on a tainis is that you give some tzedakah. The Achranim recommend, however much money you save by not eating meals, you would have had a breakfast and a lunch in addition to the supper. So that amount of money that you're saving for the breakfast and the lunch that you didn't pay for, so at least that you should donate to tzedakah. So the Gemara says like that, that at any tainis sibur, it's important that everybody should give tzedakah. So the all the yeshivas always used to have a big problem. How do you raise funds? How do you get people to donate money to the yeshiva? So in the days of the Gaonim, they came up with this einfall, that on Tainus Esther, everybody should give tzedakah. That season of the year, the month before Nissan, used to be when they would encourage everybody to bring in the Machzis HaShekel, starting from a month before Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan is the beginning of the fiscal year in the Beis HaMikdash. The new korbanos starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan have to be purchased with the new Machzis HaShekel money that was designated for that year. So they used to announce Rosh Chodesh Adar, a month before Rosh Chodesh Nissan, everybody should bring in the new Machzis HaShekel money. So the Goyim came up with this Einfall, the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael. They were Goyim in Bavel, Goyim in Eretz Yisrael. So the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael came up with the Einfall that they should start a campaign that everybody should give money. We should call it machzah shekel. Machzah shekel is the man shebeis hamigdash shayikam. His man zed is not machzah shekel. So let everybody give zechel machzah shekel. They should all give this on Tainus Esther, and the yeshivas will be supported. So the Goyim and Eretz in Bavel were very upset about this. They said, the Gemara says, when you buy flesh for Pesach, you shouldn't say, Bos hazela Pesach, because someone, the listener, may think that you plan to use this flesh for Korban Pesach. Not only if it's a live animal, they may think you're going to shecht it as a Korban Pesach, even if it's already a piece of flesh that's geshochten already. And even if it's a chicken can't serve as a Korban Pesach. Has to be menakvasim menuizim tikoch. Has to be behema daka. Can't be behema gas, and it can't be an oaf. Can't be a chicken. But nonetheless, anything that's ton shchita, so you shouldn't say bosses ala pesach. That there's a marizain. People will think that he's really designating the flesh as a korban pesach, and he's eating kochim bachutz. So the goyim and bovel were very upset. How can you say that you're going to collect money machzah shekel? Some of the people will think that this is really machzah shekel, which is hegdish. Hegdish money you're not allowed to use for the yeshivas. Hegdish is hegdish. You can only use it for the purpose of akrobas karbanas tibos. So you're causing a big michshol. So the Goyim in Eretz Yisrael said, well, we have a tradition that appears in the Yerushalmi on Shkolim. We don't have any Bavli on Shkolim. We just have Yerushalmi. So the last Mishnah in Shkolim has a machloikes satanoim. What if a person is mafrish bikurim bizman hazeh? So the Mishnah quotes the Tana Reb Shimon that a mafrish bikurim is manazeh, it's not chal at all. You don't have to be worried about it, simply not chal, because the Pasuk in Chumash reads, Reishis bikur yad moscha tovi beis Hashem alakecho, lo sevashok di b'chalevi moi, that's the Pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. So it says, Reishis bikur yad moscha tovi beis Hashem alakecho, bizman sheyesh beis hamigdosh, it's shaykh to talk about bikurim. Your mafrish bikurim is man shein beis hamigdash kayam. It's simply not chal. You don't have to worry about it. So that's the Mishnah quotes that the Tana Reb Shimon is of the opinion. And mafrish bikurim is man zeh not chal. Then Yerushalmi says we paskin like Reb Shimon. Then Yerushalmi adds on another knech that not only do we paskin like Reb Shimon on this point, which is mentioned in the Mishnah, mafrish bikurim is man zeh simply not chal. Even if your mafrish machzah shekel is man zeh is also not chal. The Mishnah doesn't quote any pasuk. The Yishalmi doesn't quote a pasuk, but it just makes a statement.
What's the shash of korban pesach? Shash of korban pesach.
Korban pesach. If you're mafrish korban pesach, bizman hazeh it is chal. Yeah, even though you have no beis hamikdash.
So why should it be different than shkolim?
Yeah. So bikurim, you have a pasuk. Reishis bikur mascha tovi beis Hashem alakecha. Only bizman that there is a beis hamikdash. There must be some drasha from a pasuk by machzah shekel. We don't know. The Yerushalmi doesn't explain what Reb Shimon Shita is based on by the Shkolim. So the Gaon Eretz Yisrael said, we have this tradition, we have the Yerushalmi on Shkolim, and the last two lines in the Yerushalmi on Shkolim say, the very last two lines in Yerushalmi say, the Halacha is like Reb Shimon on both accounts, not only Mafrish Bikurim Bizman Hazeh Natchal, Mafrish Machzah Shekel Bizman Hazeh Natchal. So there's nothing to worry about. Machzah Shekel is simply Natchal. So there is no Michshol. Doesn't matter what people will think. People are going to think machzah shekel. We'll tell them it's just not chal. You can't, even if you try, you can't be mafish machzah shekel bizman hazeh. The Goyni Bavel never heard of this. They didn't have any access to the Talmud Yerushalmi and Shkolim.
By Korban Pesach, you know, we believe the Beis Hamikdash could be built, you know, tomorrow. So why can't I say that I'm buying this meat for Pesach, for Korban Pesach? Because I believe that tomorrow is a Beis Hamikdash, you know, let's say there's a few days before Pesach. I believe tomorrow Beis Hamikdash might
be a possibility. It doesn't matter whether you believe or you don't believe. The thing is that there is a theoretical possibility the Beis Hamikdash will be built. So the Korban Pesach is chal. Korban Oyla, Korban Shlomim, any Korban is chal. If you're Magdash Karbonis, Bizman is there. The Korban is chal.
So why is it improper to say that this meat is going to be for Pesach? Maybe I strongly believe that the Beis Hamikdash will be rebuilt and this meat will be performed.
But then it's going to come Pesach night, he's going to eat it, and there is no Beis Hamikdash. So what's he eating? Kochim Bachutz? He's eating Kochim in New York? Can only eat the Korban Pesach in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim.
Would this be a Korban Pesach? the iser kick in only on Pesach when I already start to eat it? Or does it kick in when I buy it and say this is going to change?
The Gemara says the iser is you shouldn't say when you buy it because we're afraid the Beis HaMikdash will not be built. And it'll turn out that there's going to be a marasai, that the onlookers will think that he's eating a Korban Pesach b'zman hazeh. So the Gani Bavel said, we're not familiar with what it says in the Talmud Yerushalmi on the end of Shkolim. And Kabbalah in the Kabbalah. If you say that that's what it says, that there's no chashash amachzah shekel b'zman hazeh, okay, so be it. So that's the minik that the Ramah mentions that the for the purpose of fundraising for yeshivas or for the shuls, for tzedakas, they used to have a campaign that everyone should give a zechel a machzah shekel. And then the Ramah adds on, you shouldn't really call it machzah shekel, you should say it zechel a machzah shekel. So no one, maybe the goyim are wrong, maybe machzah shekel is chal b'zman hazeh, so make sure that it says it's only a zecher, that the people should appreciate. A lot of places it doesn't say Zechel Machzah Shekel, it just says Machzah Shekel. So they rely on the Goyne Eretz Yisrael that the Machzah Shekel is simply not Chal B'zman Hazeh. Then the Ramah says that the minig is that you give 3 units of Machzah Shekel. You give, in America, the Matbeah HaYotzeh B'Medina Zu is $1, so you give 3 half dollars. Why do you give a half of a dollar? So that's based on a Rambam. The Rambam comments on the Mishnah in Shkolim. Mishnah's comments on the Pesukim in Ezra Nehemiah. When the Jews came back from Golas Bavel, after the 70 years of Golas Bavel, and they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdosh, so it says that they collected Darkono Shel Zohav. They collected gigantic, very expensive golden coins for the purpose of Machzah Shekel. Why'd they give so much money? That's way more than Machzah Shekel. So they're Ravitz says, simple why. There was only a handful of Jews in Eretz Yisrael. They couldn't rely on the Jews in Bavel to send in money to Eretz Yisrael. You have to have, there were just less than 50,000 Jews in the whole Eretz Yisrael at that time. So they have to. Everyone has to give much more money. If you have millions of Jews in Eretz Yisrael, each one is going to give Machzah Shekel, so there's enough money to pay for all the karbonos for all the 12 months of the year. But if you have only 50, 60,000 Jews in the whole Eretz Yisrael, and the people of Chutz Lortz are just not going to participate in this campaign, so everybody has to give $100 each. So that's why they had to give Darkon Shel Zov, big golden coins, in order to cover all the expenses for the whole year. That's what the Ravid writes. The Rambam writes a different explanation. The Rambam understood the Mishnah as saying, you have to give Machzah HaShekel is a certain amount, you have to give Machzah Shekel, and if Machzah of the Matbeah HaYotzeh Be'os Medina is more than a Machzah Shekel, then you have to give that. So since Darkono Shel Zov was the Matbeah HaYotzeh Be'os Medina in Eretz Yisrael at that time, so that's why they had to give a half of a Darkon Shel Zov. They write the next one of the Rambam, he says, how can it be the people were so poor? How can it be that the Matbeah HaYotzeh Be'os Medina was a Darkon Shel Zov? They were paupers. It doesn't make sense that the a dollar in America, okay, everybody makes a little money, so a dollar is the Matbeah HaYotzeh Be'os Medina. But that's the Shitas HaRambam. There's a Tosfos in the first Perek in Kedushin also seems to hold like the Rambam, Benegeh to Pidyon HaBen. Tosfos says when you give 5 shkolim for Pidyon HaBen, you have to give whatever 5 shkolim are equal to, okay. Or you have to give $5 if the $5 is worth more than the 5 shkolim. So Tosfos also has such a concept, and again, the Pidyon HaBen. The minig was in Europe that they used to give 5 rubles, and the Chochmas Adam writes, because the 5 rubles, according to that Tosfos, according to the Rambam, the 5 rubles was really more than 5 shkolim, but the ruble was the Matbeah HaYotzeh Be'os Medina, so you have to give whichever is the higher amount, either the 5 shkolim, according to the Din HaTorah, however much that is valued at, or you have to give 5 matbeos HaYotzeh Be'os Medina. So that's what the Ramos says, that the minig is, you give $5, if you give 3 machzah shekels, give 3 half dollars, if the minig, if the coin in America that everybody uses is the basic coin, is the dollar, the dollar bill, so you should give three times a machzah shekel, three times over the half a dollar. Pigeon up then in America is way more than $5. It's an awful lot of money. Pigeon up then, the way it turns out, is 96 grams of pure silver. That's an awful lot of money. Maybe worth more than $100. Used to be much less expensive, much less. But that's how much it's supposed to be, 96 grams of pure silver. So the Gemara says, based on the Gemara, the Gemara says, how much is a pruta? If you're Mekadosh and Isha, you have to give a pruta. How much is a pruta? So the Gemara says in Kiddushin, one of the Rabbanim thought the pruta is the smallest coin in the monetary system. So then the Gemara says, that's not correct. That's not the definition of a pruta. So what is the definition of pruta? So the Gemara leaves you hanging. The Gemara doesn't answer the question. So the Rambam and the Ramban both quote from the Gaonim, a pruta is mishkal chatzi sora kesev zokuk. If you take a barley grain and you cut it exactly in half, there are large barley grains and small barley grains and average-sized barley grains. So you have to have an average-sized barley grain. You have to take 1,000 barley grains and assume that that'll be 2,000 prutas. Half of a barley grain is the weight. If you put silver on one side of the scale, you put half a barley grain on the other side of the scale, so the silver that the value of the silver that's equal in weight to a half a barley grain is considered a pruta. So you have to weigh thousands of barley grains in order to figure out what's an average barley grain. So then the Gemara tells you how many prutas there are in Pidyon HaBen. So you have to simply, it's just plain multiplication. I think it's 3,480. Prutas or something like that. So when you calculate it, so it says in Shulchan Aruch that that's 96 grams of pure silver. Many have a meaning to be machman to give 100 grams, and some hold that Mikra Adin you have to give 101 grams of pure silver. But the Chazon Ish holds Mikra Adin, it's enough if you give 96 grams of pure silver. The meaning is you give 100 grams instead of 96. So there's a Gemara in Perek HaZohav in Bava Metzia where the Gemara says once you've established how much Pidyon HaBen is, it doesn't change. Just because the value of the silver goes up or goes down, it doesn't change. Once it's established, it's established. So what does that mean, once it's established? So Moshe Feinstein has a very unusual understanding of that Gemara. He says, when the founding fathers, George Washington, Zecharo Livracha, established the Medina in America, 1776, and he made a dollar, and the dollar had so much money, so many coins in it. So at that time, how much was Pidyon HaBen? Pidyon HaBen would be 96 grams of pure silver. Let's say you're going to give 100 grams. How much was it then, in the days of George Washington? How much was it for 100 grams of pure silver? So much money. See, even though now, because of inflation, everything keeps on changing. Whatever the amount of money was in the beginning of the establishment of the monetary system, it remains like that, the oil and oil. Most others don't agree with Rav Moshe Feinstein. He says there are exceptions to the rule if the government makes a major jump, if there's a major change in the monetary system, major inflation, a major deflation of money, and then he says, what's considered a major deflation, a major change in the system? So he says, based on Igmar in the end of Bava Kama, what's considered a major change in the monetary system?
What does that mean? I mean, if it's 96 grams, what's the difference now or when George Washington, 96 grams is 96 grams?
No, but the Gemara grand. Says that once you establish how much Pidyon HaBen is, it stays the same, Leoy Lomvoy.
It stays void. The same amount of silver or the same amount of dollars?
Say, Rav Moshe understood it stays the same amount of dollars in that monetary system. Most assume not like Rav Moshe, most assume like the Chazon Ish.
So we go with $1,776?
Yeah.
Well, today.
Right. So most that assume it doesn't mean that.
That's probably worth much, much more.
Okay, so most assume it doesn't mean that at all. It means when this baby was born, so the Chiyuv Pidyon HaBen set in on Yom Lamed Aleph, when the baby reached the 31st day. So on the 31st day, how much did 96 grams of pure silver sell for? So even though the person never had a Pidyon HaBen till the age of 95, for him it stays the same. Whatever was established for this baby on the Yom Lamed Aleph that stays the same. Even though the value of silver goes up, goes down, the amount for pidyon aden doesn't change. But Moshe holds it depends on Hakomas HaMedina. In 1776, how much was it at that time? A very big chiddush. And then according to Rabbi Moshe, pidyon aden, let's say a baby is born in America, and the pidyon aden should take place on the Yom Lamed Aleph. So if they do pidyon aden in America, they'll give one amount of money. Do pidyon aden in England, it'll be a different amount of money, and it's not going to be corresponding. If you do the pidyon aden in Eretz Yisrael, it won't correspond. In every country, you have to go back to the Hakomas HaMedina when they started the monetary system, unless they made a major change in the monetary system.
Why does he hold that? What's Bachrich in the sense of just strange thing?
That's how he read the Gemara in Hazov. The Gemara in the first daf in Perek Hazov says, once you establish how much is pidyon aden, it stays the same, it doesn't change. So most others understand, and each and every baby stays the same. If the baby reached the Yom Laman Aleph, so on his 31st day, it's established how much the parents have to give for pidyon aden, so that stays the same for him. But not in the Medina. Not that the in every Medina, the monetary system is established, and then it depends on from 300 years ago. And Moshe has this interpretation anymore. It's a big chiddush. Yeah.
A lot of people I know also have the minute to then have to get silver dollars. Take that money and be
mocking
the silver dollars and then give the silver dollars to the
Christ. Years ago, the silver dollars, the five silver dollars, used to have more than 20 grams of pure silver in each dollar.
Right.
So when you gave five silver dollars, you were giving more than 100 grams of pure silver. Sometimes some of the silver wears off, but it's still five silver dollars, real silver dollars, you're always going to have more than 100 grams of pure silver. I don't know if the silver dollars are still available.
Yes.
They are?
Uh-huh. As a Kohen, they usually pass down in the family.
20 some odd dollars a piece.
My father gave them to one to you.
Uh-huh.
20 some odd dollars a piece.
Uh-huh. So that's an awful lot of money. Okay. That's an awful lot of money.
They also have in Eretz Yisrael, they made special coins out of silver for them.
Yeah.
That's
how much silver is there there? Also 100 grams of pure silver.
They made them there officially over the Sefer.
Pidyon aden coins, yeah. The halacha does not require for pidyon aden purposes that you should give dafke cash. The Mishnah say that shava kesef is also good for pidyon aden. I remember I was once at a pidyon aden, and the kohen insisted he wants a becher because he was afraid they're going to give him money. They're going to want him to give the money back. So he said he wants a becher, and so then he understood he's not going to have to give the becher back. That's a question. A check is shtar. So karka avonim shtoris is no good for pinyin aben. And paper money is a big shayla in the tshuvas chasam sefer. Because paper money is only representing the value. It doesn't have intrinsic values. Maybe it has a din like shtar. The pashta says that it's not. The pashta says that that's legal tender. So paper money is legal tender. And look at kesef gadol mizeh. That's kesef. Kesef doesn't have to do with silver. The word kesef means silver. And the word kesef means cash. Legal tender. Is kesef. So if the government declares that paper money has this value, has to be accepted for all in payment for any obligation. So that's called kesef al pi pashtas.
But isn't it by a coin how much is the chaver all of a rai? Since he can't prove that he's a coin, I mean.
For many generations, it was assumed that the reason why the Kohanim in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah, who couldn't prove that they have a ksav yichas, were not permitted to be makar of karbonis, was because all kohanim chazoka sofik kohanim. So then there was a problem, sofik kohanim. So how can they do pidyon aben and say a brocha, and how can they duchen and say a shegreshon b'kedushos shalaret? How can they say a brocha? So basically, that was this thought was rejected when Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, who was a talmud of Rabbi Kiveger, had the idea we should someone should put up money and we should build the Beis HaMikdash and we should bring karbonis. He didn't realize that there was a mosque. He never visited Eretz Yisrael. He didn't know there's not Shaykh. So he wrote a whole sefer encouraging Baron Rothschild to put up the money and we should bring karbonis. And then he raised the issue, but we don't have enough Kohanim Yuchasim to run such a Beis HaMikdash. So he came up with the Chiddush that the requirement for Kohanim Yuchasim to be Makor Karbonos was only a Chumrim Midirabbanan that was introduced by Ezra at the beginning of the Bayi Sheni period, and it was never intended to paralyze Hakrovos HaKarbonos. In the beginning of the Bayi Sheni, there were enough Kohanim to run the Beis HaMikdash who were Kohanim Yuchasim. But if today there's simply not enough Kohanim Yuchasim, so that we can fabeg, we can violate the din de rabbanan, we can have regular kohani chazaka of our assumed to be vaday kohanim. So from that time on, Rabbi Kiveger was maskin. Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalashev was a talmud of Rabbi Kiveger. So he sent his kuntres, he sent his whole sefer to Rabbi Kiveger. He was maskin. Then Rabbi Kiveger sent it to his son-in-law, the Chassam Sefer. He was also maskin. So from that time on, that's the generally accepted opinion, that Kohanim today are not considered Sofik Kohanim. They're Vaday Kohanim, and it's only a Chumrim of the Rabbanon that we don't permit them to be Makor Karbonos. If you can possibly get enough Kohanim Yuchasim, you should try to do some. But if you can't, then you have a regular Kohanim. We'll do the Hakrovos HaKarbonos. So we have a Tainus Esther. The Rishonim are bothered with the Kasha. The Balamor is bothered with the Kasha. How do they have a Tainus Esther? Usually, the Avim Tovim and Megillas Tainus, not only are you not allowed to fast on the day itself, you're not allowed to fast Lifneim either, the day before either. So we have Yud Dalid is Purim, and Yud Gimel is a Tanis, Hayitochin. What happened to the Din Lifneim is Asa. So the Rishonim answered that, so he passed on the Shulchan Aruch. All the other Yavim Tovim and Beginless Tainus were Batlu. Only Chanukah and Purim are like Batlu. And since everything else from Beginless Tainus was Batlu, so Lefneim and Achreim is also Batlu. So on Chanukah and Purim, on the Yontav itself, is like Batlu and Beginless Tainus. All the other 35 Yavim Tovim and Beginless Tainus, there are many other Yavim Tovim. All the other Yavim Tovim, one is Batlu, except for Chanukah and Purim. And the day before and the day after Chanukah and Purim was also Batlu. Maybe years ago it was also Batainus. But today, there's no Lefneim al Achreim. Yeah, if there would have been a din Lefneim al Achreim of Purim, then you wouldn't say Tachnun on Tainus Esther in the morning. You wouldn't say Tachnun on Erev Chanukah in the morning either, not just in the afternoon. We don't say Tachnun Erev Shabbos in the afternoon, Erev Rosh Chodesh in the afternoon. But Erev Shabbos in the morning, Erev Rosh Chodesh in the morning, we do say Tachnun. If the din would have been that the Lefneim al Achreim was loy botlu by Purim and Chanukah, then the day before Chanukah and Purim would be considered a Yontav. So you would delete Tachnun even the morning of Erev Purim, in the morning of Erev Chanukah, which we do not delete. So obviously we have accepted that opinion. The Lefneim Lachreim of Chanukah and Purim was Batlu. But the Rishonim give another answer in the Sefer Ho'eshkol. The Sefer Ho'eshkol gives an answer that the Tainus of Esther, Tainus Esther is a different kind of a Tainus. It's a Tainus Shel Simcha. You're not allowed to fast the day before Yontif and Megillas Tainus. That's if it's a Yahrzeit. Yahrzeit, why did people fast? Because we assume that the person died on that day, so it was a Yom Mishpat for him. He was judged on that day. They decided that's enough. He should die. So it could be, again, they're judging the Nifter on that day. Even though he died already 30 years ago, could be it's again a day of Mishpat. Could be it's a day of Mishpat for the whole family, because all the family lost this relative of theirs. So that's why it's considered an Eis Tzara, so you fast on an Eis Tzara. So that kind of a tainus of a Yortzar, a tainus, a person has a personal Tzara, he's worried about something, so he fasts a tainus of Eis Tzara, you don't observe the day before Purim. But Tainus Esther was a tainus that worked that well. That's how the Rishonim say on the first daf, on Beis Amud Aleph, Gemara says, Yud Gimel is man kehila lakol. So they quote from the Shiltas, what does it mean Yud Gimel, Erev Purim as Man Kehila Lakol? When they were waging the battle against the anti-Semitic enemies of the Jewish people, so they were fasting in order that their prayers should be answered, they should be Matzlech and the Melchama, and their fasting was accepted, and their prayers were accepted, and they were victorious in battle. So we fast on Tainus Esther, it's a Tainus Shel Simcha, it's not a Tainus Shel Avelus. We fast on Shivasa B'tamas and Tzom Gedalia and Tisha B'Av, that's a Tainus Shel Avelus. We're still in mourning over the loss of the Beis HaMikdash. But the fasting on Tainus Esther, the Sefer Ho'eshkol by the Ravid writes that that's considered a Taina Shel Simcha, so that would be permissible on Erev Purim. Megillas Tainis that Lifnei Lachreim you don't fast, that's only by Yontev de Rabbanon, by these Yontev de Rabbanon. By Shabbos and Yontev, there's no Megillas Tainis. And Divrei Torah Einem Tzich Mechizuk, you don't have to be Mechazik that people should observe Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh. And still, Erev Shabbos in the afternoon, the Mincha, we leave out Tachna, because we're preparing for Shabbos. Erev Rosh Chodesh, we leave out Tachna. It's not because Lefnei Malachreim. There is no din of Lefnei Malachreim on a Yontav Deraisa, on a Shabbos Deraisa. And still, the minig is that you leave out Tachna by the Mincha before.
Is the reason of the Eshkol that it's a Tanis Shel Simcha another reason why we make Gil for Mechash Biyama and Tanis Esim, because it's a Tanis Shel Simcha? It's got nothing to do with being Mechil on the Mechash Biyama, that you don't have to fast.
I thought the reason for the Kula is because it's Mamish only a minig. We don't assume that it's like it never was a Dibur Kabbalah. We don't assume that it's like Shivasa Batamas and Tzom Gedalia. So whatever is only a minute, like waiting till the end of the, till 6 hours, the extra 5 hours, so that the Chasam Sofer says, if the person has a Mechash B'Yalma, you can be Mekal on that. Whatever is only a minute, whatever is a real Din de Rabbana, you're only Mekal if he's a Chol She'Embo Sakana. To allow one to violate a Din de Raisa, you have to have a Chol She'Embo Sakana. To allow one to violate a Din de Rabbana, you have to have a Chol She'Embo Sakana. And to allow one to violate a minig is enough if he has a Mechash B'Yalma.
When did it become on Erev Purim meaning that the original time was on Pesach, so the very next year it was already Erev Purim?
No, Erev Purim was Man Kehillah Lakol, that's when they were waging the war against the enemy. So the Muhammad was on Yin Gimel V'Noach Bar Ba'Asa, and then in Shushan Esther requested from Achashverosh, give us another day. So they were waging Muhammad both on Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet, and they rested on the 15th. So because everybody was with Muhammad on Yud Gimel, that's called Man Kehillah Lakol, so they were all fasting. I don't know, the soldiers in the army were probably not fasting. They have to be alert. A couple of years ago, there was a Muhammad in Eretz Yisrael in the middle of the summer. So by mistake, it was in the middle of the 9 days, so by mistake they sent only fleshic food to the soldiers. So the Frumas soldiers didn't want to eat the food, because it's fleshic, so the 9 days. So the chief rabbi had a paskin, even though they made a mistake. They didn't mean to send fleshic. He said, paskin, everyone has to eat the fleshic. And then he told them they were going to fast on Tisha B'Av. He said, everybody has to eat on Tisha B'Av. They have to be alert in order to wage a battle. I don't think it necessarily means that the soldiers who were doing the battle were the ones who were fasting. The Kehillah was fasting and the soldiers were eating. Soldiers have to have strength to be able to fight well. They have to be alert.
Is there any other place where there's a concept of a Tainashul Simcha, Weight Watchers?
Don't know.
I mean, usually Simcha means Basar Yain or opposite of Stephanie.
Yeah. No, here they fasted at the time that they fasted when they were waging the war in the days of Esther. That was a real Eis Tzara, but their tefillahs were accepted and they won the war. So we want to reminisce about the fact that the tefillahs were accepted, so we fast today and we call it a Taina Shel Simcha, just like then the tefillahs were accepted. We want our tefillahs today should be accepted. We should also have an Itzochan against our enemies. So that's what the Sefer Eshkol calls a Taina Shel Simcha. Yeah. Rav Soloveitchik thought it would not apply on Taina Sesti. He thought that it only applies to the other Tanaisim, some Gedalia story, Betevis, where it started off as a Taina Mendibri Kabbalah, and it had all the dinim like Tisha B'Av, Leila Kiyomo, the whole works. And then Bismanazet's Ratzim Sanim Ratzim Sanim is only optional. Navas Kvashav Yualay Choiva. The Bahag says that Klal Yisrael has accepted it as a meaning that we do fast. And then he said Bal Nefesh Yachmer should be Machmer Al Atzmo to observe the Hamisha Inoy. But Rav Soloveitchik thought, like he's saying, that on Tainus Esther that doesn't apply. We just make a zecher to the Tonis that it worked out well.
So you can listen to music. You can take a bath before.
Yeah, yeah. There wouldn't be a problem. Yeah. It's not a tiny shel avelos, yeah. The Gemara says when we read the Megillah, we recite three different brachas. First, you recite the bracha, Shekedishana b'mitzvah yisav v'tzivanu al-mikra Megillah. The Gemara considers that a chiddush that you say, Kedishana b'mitzvah yisav v'tzivanu, it's only a mitzvah midirabbanan. How do you speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hashem Elokeinu Kedishana v'tzivanu al-mikra Megillah? So the Gemara says, in Ishken Kashe, we're obligated to follow the mitzvahs midirabbanan, and it's a legitimate nusach ha-bracha. You can say Kedishana b'mitzvah yisav v'tzivanu. Then the second bracha we say is, Sh'asa nisim la'vaseinu. When else do we recite Shas Nis Mavaseinu? So the Gemara has that on Chanukah. Mishas Hadlokas Haneris also. He says Shas Nisim is there another time. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out the Chasam Sefer in his Chuvis has a kasha. Somebody asked him a kasha, why are women not obligated to wear tefillin? The Pasuk says that the purpose of tefillin is we should wear tefillin to reminisce about Yitzias Mitzrayim. So the women were also involved in Yitzias Mitzrayim. Oh, so that's what the Chasam Sefer distinguishes, that the tefillin is only Zechel Nes. If you'll open up the Parshias, you'll see that it mentions Yitzias Mitzrayim in the Kadesh Vayokiviyacha. But they can't say that by wearing tefillin it's a dead giveaway. You're demonstrating that there was a miracle. There is no pisum in nisim. So that's what his father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, thought. How can you determine whether any given mitzvah is a pisum in nisim or a zechel anes? So he thought whenever you say shos anisim, that means that you cover this mitzvah as a mitzvah pisum in nisim. So that's why you only say this far afen hay b'os anes, women are mechuyev, despite the fact that the Hadlokas Ner is Chanukah, and despite the fact that Mikra Megillah really should have been Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Groma, women should have been exempt from that. Nonetheless, we say it's an exception to the rule. Women are Mechuyev, because the nature of the Mitzvah is Pesumi Nisan, not Stam Zechel Anes. So those are the Mitzvahs where we say Shosa Nisan. On Pesach night, the Gemara says that Haseba and Abrakosis also women are Mechuyev, despite the fact that it should have been a mitzvah saseh shazman groma. Women are mechuyev, also afen hay biyasanes. So on Pesach night, you don't say shasa nisim in connection with the haseba or with the abrakosis. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik pointed out that some of the Rishonim write explicitly in their commentaries on the Haggadah that when we say the bracha over the second cup of wine on Pesach night, before you say hamoitzi, the matzah, so when you say the bracha shir yalon and begolas havaseinu min mitzrayim, that's the equivalent of shasa nisim. So basically, you're saying Shas and Nisim there too. But these are the only mitzvahs. The Hadlokas Ner is Chanukah, with the Mikra Megillah, with the Haseba, with the Abakos, these are Pesumi Nisim. There are other mitzvahs that are Zechel Nes, but you can't really say that they're Pesumi Nisim. So there, you don't say the Brocha Shas and Nisim, and there, you wouldn't say that women would be Mechui because Afen Haibi Asanes. Then the Gemara has the Chiddush, and in addition to these two Brochas, you say also a third Brocha. Third bracha of Shehechiyonu v'kimonu v'giyonu lazman hazeh. What's the nature of this bracha? So usually on Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot, and Rosh Hashanah, you say at the end of the Kiddush, you say Shehechiyonu. The Gemara says, strictly speaking, Shehechiyonu is not really an integral part of the Kiddush. You can say Shehechiyonu when you're walking in the street also. Shehechiyonu, I'm Rafi Labashuk. Strictly speaking, the Shachyanu is on the Hagos Hazman, on the day itself. The day has a Chiyuv Simcha. So Shachyanu is on the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. The Gemara had a suffix regarding Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, whether is there a mitzvah of Simcha, do you really say Shachyanu? Are you mechuyev to say Shachyanu on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur? The Gemara says, yeah, you're mechuyev to say Shachyanu. The Gemara knew that they did say Shachyanu, but the Gemara wasn't sure, is it Shachyanu like a pre Chodosh? That ma'adalep nachayar, so that's an optional shechiano, and when you eat a pre-chadosh, or would you say no, that the shechiano on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is like on Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, that it's obligatory, that it's a chayva. The Gemara comes to the conclusion that it's obligatory, that there is a mitzvah of simcha on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as well. So that's the shayla over here. The Gemara says, but why should you say shechiano while you're walking in the street? If you're going to say kiddush alayayin, say may as well save the shechiano to recite it also at the end of the Kiddush, you will You will enhance the chashivas of the bracha shechianu by having it recited over a cup of wine. So what's the story over here? By Purim, shechianu is really on the yontif of Purim. Is there such a thing as a yontif of Purim? It's midirabbanan, it's make-believe. Dinim deraisa really exist. Baruch Shalom said that today is Shabbos, today is Rosh Chodesh, today is yontif. The day is a different day. The day is endowed with different properties, a different kind of a day. Purim is all midirabbanan. So Achrayim have a svar. They're all dinim derabbanan. They're only dinim on the gavra. It's not a din in the cheftza. It's not the day is really a different day. Day is the same as any other day. So can you really say shechianu on the day because the day is unique? It's only dinim derabbanan what you should do on yontif. So that's the Mishnah Brura discovered a Meiri. He quotes the Meiri both on the sugya of Chanukah as well as in Maseches Megillah. The Meiri has on all the Masechtas. So the Meiri writes a chiddush both on Chanukah and on Purim. Even if you don't have a Megillah, you're not able to do the mitzvah Mikra Megillah. You don't have Neres Chanukah, you're not going to do the mitzvah. You still say Shachyanu over the Yom itself, just like Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, where the Yontif is a Yontif min HaTorah, the day is different from another day that you recite Shachyanu. He has a chiddush that you say Shachyanu on the Yontif itself. Oimra Afila Bashut. Mishnah Brura is not so convinced that we should follow that psak of the Meiri, because no one else says like that. The Meiri has another fantastic chiddush, right? The Meiri, because the Gemara raised the question: why don't we recite Hallel on Purim? Why shouldn't we recite Hallel? So the Gemara suggested three different answers. So the answer, one answer was that the Kriyas HaMegillah itself is a form of reciting Hallel. So the Meiri writes an original chiddush. What if a person doesn't have a Megillah and he won't be able to read the Megillah? Then he's mechuyav medina to recite Hallel with a bracha. So that is generally not accepted. And the Netziv explains in his commentary on the Shiltas why it's not accepted. So he says that Hallel, he says there are different kinds of Hallel. Hallel b'shas hanes, when Yeshua occurs, that's a real chiyav min haTorah. That's learned out from Parshas b'shalach. The Rebbeinu Shlom made a Kriyas Yamsuf, and Bnei Yisrael were Nitzal. Bnei Yisrael offered B'sach HaYam B'Yabosha, so they offered Shiras Oz Yashir, and the Chumash records it to indicate that that's the proper thing to do. Everyone should do that throughout all the future generations. Whenever there's Yeshua, they say Hallel B'Shasa Yeshua. Hallel Zechel Anes, that's only Midirabbanan. That's not going to be Minatar. So the Gemara raised an issue, why didn't the rabbis make a takana to say Hallel Zechel Nes on Purim? When the Nes Purim occurred, they probably did say Hallel, Mishas Maisa. But the Gemara asked, why don't we today recite Hallel on Purim Zechel Nes? So the Gemara says, Kriyasa Zu Halelo. That's the reason why the Chachamim were not motivated to make a takana to recite Hallel Zechel Nes, because you're going to have the Mikra Megillah. See, even if you happen to be in a desert island, you got stuck in Afghanistan, whatever, and there's no Megillah, so you're in a predicament. But the Chachamim never made a takana. It's not that it happens automatically that there's an obligation to say Hallel Zechel Nes. So Zechel Nes is only midirabbanan if they made such a takana. If they never made a takana, it's nitzah. So the Gemara says they never bothered to make a takana by Purim because kriyasa zuhalela under normal circumstances. So that's what the Netziv Tain is, that there never was a takana to recite Hallel on Purim. So even if you personally don't have a Megillah, it doesn't make sense that you should you should recite the Hallel on Purim.
Didn't the Rav say that's why you say a shechlan in the morning also? Because the night is on the Megillah and the morning is on a different, it's a Hallel. Megillah is a Hallel. There's a different mitzvah.
I mean that. I mean, Hallel, the Mishnah says in Megillah, Hallel can only be recited in the daytime. You can't recite Hallel at night. So Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla is not B'Torah's Hallel. Only Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom is B'Torah's Hallel. Some Achrayim want to say like that. So the Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom has an added feature that the Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla didn't have, namely, that the Kriyas HaMegillah also serves as a form of Hallel. So that's why the Rabbeinu Tam, Tosfos quotes the Rabbeinu Tam on Avdalah Rabban Aleph. This is Diba Maschol Psak. They say, Halacha Lamaisa, how do you observe Purim? What do you do? So Tosfos says, in the name of Rabbeinu Tam, that when you read the Megillah Balayla, you say the three brachas, Shechyonu. Then you read the Megillah in the morning, you also say again all the three brachas. What are you saying, Shechyonu? He just read the Megillah last night. when you blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah in a whole year. So if you have a mitzvah, bo mizman lazman, the mitzvah comes from one year to the next, then you say shachyonu on the tkiya shofar. How come you say shachyonu on the second day Rosh Hashanah? So some taka hold, you don't say shachyonu on the second day Rosh Hashanah. How come we do say shachyonu on the second day Rosh Hashanah? Because we're mesupik, maybe yesterday didn't count, maybe yesterday was chol, and maybe today is yontav, so that's why. So maybe we haven't blown shofar since last year. But over here, he just read the Megillah last night. So what are you saying? Vayter shachyonu on the Mikra Megillah Bayom. So the Mechaber paskens like the Rambam, that one does not say shachyonu on the Mikra Megillah Bayom. And that's how Sfardim followed that psak. And the Rabbeinu Tam says, no, the Ikar Kriyas HaMegillah is Bayom. What do you mean, Ikar Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom? You must say, have to read Bayom or Balayla. So Rav Soloveitchik liked very much the Svar of Rav Shlomo LeVilna. I think he knew him. In Vilna. Shlomo LeVilna was a dying in Vilna. So he writes in his Sefer Bin Yishlomo, he thinks that Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla is a takona from the Amoraim. It didn't exist in the days of the Tanoim. In the days of Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, they only made a takona for Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom. Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla was instituted way later. So the Rabbeinu Tam says the Ikar Kriyas Bayom means that that's the takona me Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. That's a real Dibur Kabbalah. Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla is on a lower level. It's only in the Schadish Bizman HaAmoraim. So when you read the Megillah in the morning, it's an added kiyum that you didn't have last night. Now you're fulfilling the real original takana Medivri Kabbalah of Mikra Megillah. So that's what the Rabbeinu Tam means that you say Shachyonu. So you're telling another suggestion. Even if one should assume the Rishonim asked that question, how come the Mishnah says? The Mishnah only talks about Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom, never says a word about Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla. So Rav Shlomo LeVilna says that's why. Because in the days of the Tanaim, it didn't exist. There was no Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla. But the Ritva doesn't say like that. He assumes that there was Mikra Megillah Balayla, Bizman HaTanaim also. But for some reason or another, the Mishnah didn't bother to say. So they're both on the same level of significance. So why do you say Vaita? Why do you say Ika Kriyas Bayom? What's added on in the Kriya Bayom? So that's what you're saying. Rav Soloveitchik said that the Mishnah says later, Hallel can only be recited Bayom. So Kriyas Zu Halayla, that's only in the Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom. Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla doesn't have that element. Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla is like Kriyas Tanakh, like you're learning Kriyas Kisvi HaKodesh. When you read the Megillah in the morning, there's an added kiyum, an added significance to it. It's also a form of Hallel, which didn't exist last night, because one doesn't say Hallel Balayla. So that's perhaps why the Rabbeinu Tam said you should say Shachyonu. Okay. Right. He was from the Amoraim. The end of the period of the time, beginning of the period of Amoraim. Yeah, Rabbi Shimon Levi is contemporary of Rabbi Yechanan. The Rishonim have a cloud. Whenever Rabbi Yechanan disagrees with the Shlokesh, we paskin like Rabbi Yechanan almost all the time. Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Rabbi Yechanan, halachic Rabbi Yechanan, Shmuel Rabbi Yechanan, halachic Rabbi Yechanan. The one exception to the rule when Rabbi Yechanan disagrees with the contemporary of his, we don't paskin like Rabbi Yechanan, is Rabbi Shua ben Levi. That's the Gemara at the end of Megillah. The Gemara has a machlek, Rabbi Shua ben Levi, Rabbi Yechanan, which has a higher level of Kedusha, the Beis HaKnesses or the Beis HaMedrash. The Mayin Afkemina, we have a rule, Malam HaKodesh V'lo Maridin. So if you have a shul and you want to convert it into yeshiva, is that a violation of Maridin? Or do you say, no, you're elevating the level of Kedusha. Or you have a base medrash and you want to convert it into a shul, the yeshiva is going to move somewhere else and we're going to change this into a shul. Is that a violation of Maridin? So the Gemara quotes the Machlek Zab Yechon Rabbi Shulman Levi. Then the Gemara assumes a Dovah Pashit. The din is like Rabbi Shulman Levi. Why did they assume like such a Dovah Pashit? So that's what Taisus says. You see from that Gemara, the Gaonim said, you see from that Gemara, that the Halacha is always like Rabbi Shua ben Levi. But he was a contemporary of Rabbi Yechon. He was the first generation of Amoraim. Yeah, that was probably added on later. It wasn't by Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. Yeah. Pesach night is a major kasha. How can we say Hallel Balayla? So some Mefarshim say the Chidor has a tshuva. Chidor has many, many svarim. So one of his volumes he has, there was a boat that was traveling in the Mediterranean and there was a storm. And the people on the boat thought for sure they're going to drown. The boat is going to sink. And then they prayed, they were mispalom, they were nitzal, and everybody was survived. So they wanted to say hallo, the hallo b'shas HaYeshua. So they wanted to know, the whole story happened in the middle of the night. So they wanted to know, are they allowed to say hallo at night, or do they have to wait till the morning? Because the Mishnah says that you can only say hallo in the morning. L'chatchili efter ha'netzachama, but you have it even before ha'netzachama, efter ha'los ha'shachar. So the Chidor says, the only time you have to say hallo b'yom, that's if it's halal zechel nes. But if it's halal b'shas nes, then if the nes occurred, if the Yeshua occurred balayla, then you say the halal balayla. By us, let's say we say halal on Rosh Chodesh, we say halal on Pesach Shavuot Sukkos, that's not a halal b'shas nes, that's a halal ab simchas yantiv, so that's only bayom. Or halal on Chanukah, that's a halal zechel nes. But if there'll be a halal b'shas nes, that you would say even balayla, if the nes occurred balayla. So that's the nusach that we say in the Haggadah. Why? Because we have to feel as if we're supposed to have the attitude as if we just left Mitzrayim now. So we just left Mitzrayim now. This is halal b'shasanes. This is what some mefarshim say based on this tshuva by the Chido. That whenever it's halal b'shasanes, then you do say balaylo. Only halal of simchas yantav, halal zechalanes, that shouldn't be balaylo. Nah, Rabbi Gorin started that because Rabbi Gorin felt bad when he was chief chaplain. He had to travel around all day long. Yom HaTzmod, he couldn't daven b'tzibur, so he felt bad. He's missing halal. So he made a new takana that you say halal leil Yom HaTzmod. So Rav Neiria wrote a whole essay attacking him. What did he make up a new takana? You don't say halal leil Yom HaTzmod. You only say it by yom. Nah. That's because he felt bad. Why he's missing halal? Because on Yom HaTzmod, he was traveling around. So Rav Neiria disagreed very strongly. Others suggest, based on a passage in the Zohar, that Leil Yetzias Mitzrayim, there's such a passage in the Zohar, the sun was shining like in the middle of the day, like at high noon. So whatever that means. So if the sun was shining, then one is able to recite halal in the middle of the night, because like high noon. I don't know what it's supposed to imply. Right, so either that's because that's halal b'shas hanes, because b'chol dov dor chayvanim levasatzman kilu hiyotzimim, it's right, you have to feel.
Yeah,
but we feel as if Yitzias Mitzrayim occurred to us tonight, yeah, now.
A lot of people say without the bracha.
I mean, that's a compromise. That's a compromise, yeah. No, Shulchan Aruch says you do say a bracha. So others, have a machlekes. Some people do want to say something. And the tempers are very high. So they make a compromise. They say halal on Pesach night without a bracha. But more correct is you should send up to the Omer the person who's prepared to say a bracha. So I'll say, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, it should say the bracha, yeah. The Gemara says that the Aseres Bnei Haman have to be written in the Megillah in a specific way, like a Shira. You don't just write the full lines, you have to leave empty space in the middle. But usually Shira, like Oz Yoshira Hazino, you have writing, and empty spaces. Then the next line you have writing and empty spaces. The line immediately below the empty space is going to be writing. Immediately below the writing is going to be empty space. That's called Ariach Agabi Leveno, Leveno Agabi Ariach. Aseres Mehaman, Aseres Bnei Haman, you have the two columns. Yeah, what does that represent? That a different kind of Ashira. Because when you build a wall and you have the bricks, and you have half a brick, the bottom layer, you put bricks. Then the layer on top of it, you put the bricks, half on this brick, half on the other brick, with cement overlapping, so they'll all be mechazik each other. So the wall is not going to fall down so quickly. So that's a normal shira. Shira is hazino, or oz yashir. So you want to have ariach agabi leveinu, leveinu agabi ariach. But the Bnei Haman, we want that it should fall down. They should have a mapola. So that's why you have the Bnei Haman in one column, and the ace in the other column. You have the empty space in the middle. So the Gemara says that's Likuva. It has to be written like that, Likuva. So Rashi, the Mishnah Brura, quotes Pirish Rashi Anad Gemara, how much empty space do you have to have in the middle? You have to have kefil kefi haksav. You have to have empty space should be twice the amount of the writing that you have on the two sides. So most Megillahs do not have that. Most Megillahs do not have so much empty space in the middle. They don't look in the Mishnah Brura. Yeah, others point out that most of the Achranim disagree with this Mishnah Brura. They quote that there's a Beferisha Yerushalmi that you don't need so much. They just say that you need empty space in the middle, enough empty space to put nine letters. Nine letters is the minimum letters you have to have on any given line in a Sefer Torah. Usually you have long lines in this. You have more than nine letters. But you have to have a minimum of nine letters on any given line. So you have to have empty space in between the ace, Vaizasa, the ace Adaf, the ace Aspasa, whoever it is, you have to have an empty space of nine letters in between. So that's what the later poskim say. They disagree with this, with the Mishnah Brura. They say Mishnah Brura shouldn't have quoted the Rashi because the Yerushalmi contradicts the Rashi. That you don't need kefil kefi haksav. There was a big machlekes in most Megillahs. I have three Megillahs at home. I don't use any of them. I have three Megillahs. I lend them out to Bali Kriya, who are going to lay in the hospital, who are going to lay in the old age homes, whatever. So all the three Megillahs have Aseres Ben Ham. All the three Megillahs have around 25, 30 lines in a column. And then when it comes to Aseres Ben Haman, all it has is Aseres Ben Haman. And you have it's written in bigger letters, and you have big empty spaces in between one line and the next line. So the Chochmas Sodom has a whole essay about this. He says that this poses a big problem. If you have an empty... Sometimes you have a new paragraph in a Sefer Torah. So sometimes you have a psucha, sometimes you have a stuma. The stuma means that there's a little pause in between, and the psucha means that there's a bigger pause in between. It says in the Rishonim, when the Balkari lanes, he's supposed to pause at a Seif Pasuk, supposed to pause a little bit. A lot of times they just read on Ron on Psukim, they keep on laning. So Rav Soloveitchik said he thinks that that's a violation of Kol Psukah de Loi Paskim Moshe and Non Loi Paskinon. Just like you're not allowed to pause in the middle of a Pasuk to read it as if it were two Psukim. So you're not allowed to read two Psukim as if it's one Ron on Pasuk. You're reading Shaloi Kechsavai. So you have to pause at the end of the pasuk. Then it says in the Rishonim, when you have a stuma, you have to pause a little more because it's a new paragraph. And when you have a psucha, you have to pause even more. A stuma, stuma means leave a little empty space in the middle of the line, enough to put nine letters, and then you continue writing at the end of the line. And a psucha is a bigger pause. You stop in the middle of the line and you leave empty till the end of the line. Then you start the new paragraph on the next line. What if you really needed a psucha and you wrote till the end of the line? So how are you going to make a psucha? Psucha normally is, you leave off in the middle of the line. So by our Sefer Torah, Yeshayahu never happens because the Sofrim have a whole system. They follow the tikkun. They make the Sefer Torah in such a way that there's no problems. But you look when you visit in Europe, in the different shuls in Europe, that are no longer being used, and they'll show the old Sefer Torah that they have. A lot of these Sefer Torah, they have a pasuk that goes to the end of the line, and then they have a whole blank line, the next line. So that's based on the Rambam. The Rambam says, if you have to put a psucha and you wrote to the end of the line, leave a whole blank line, start the next paragraph on the next line, and that constitutes a psucha. Okay. So the Chochmas Sodom quotes from the Vilna Gaon, this poses a problem. You have the Aseres Ben Haman, and then you have a big empty space. Aseres Ben Haman only is 11 lines. Chamesh Me'osish, Ve'is Aspasa, Ve'is Adalia, and so on. So it's only 11 lines. So if you're going to make, instead of having 30 lines, you have 11 lines. So they make it in bigger letters. How big are you going to make the letters? Can't be gigantic. So then they leave big empty spaces in between one and the other. So if you would look at this column alone, this Amud, in the Sefer Torah alone, you would say there are no extra lines, empty spaces, lines over here. In this amud, that's how much empty space you leave between one line and the other. But if you compare this amud with the next amud before it or after it, then you see that you have, they skipped lines over here. So the Vilna Gaon said you have to compare it to the rest of the columns in the Megillah. So since in the column before and the column after, this would constitute a whole empty line that you put a psucha on over here. There, we don't have a tradition that there's supposed to be a psucha in between each one of the Aseres Bnei Haman. So when you put a psucha where it doesn't belong, this puzzles the whole Megillah Esther. So that was one taina of the Vilna Gaon. Then he had another taina that the sofer make the letters bigger. The Aseres Bnei Haman, they make them bigger. So the vav of Aizosa, the Gemara says, is supposed to be bigger. Tzoch lo ruche, to make it longer. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the two pshatim. When the sefer writes it, he should make a longer vav Aizosa, we do that. And when he pronounces it, I don't know exactly how is he going to pronounce vav. How can you pronounce a v by longer? They must have had a different pronunciation of a wa or something. If you have a v pronunciation, you can make it longer. So in Shulchan Aruch, it says you should do both. Sarch la luche levav de baizasa, luche nixive, and la luche la ruche, to make it longer in the pronunciation. So we don't have a tradition that you're supposed to have bigger letters. But Aseres Bnei Haman, see here, it's not right. They make the letters bigger. So again, if you just look at this column alone, judging based on this column, that's the size of the letters. But the Vilna Gaon says you should judge it based on the column before, the column after. Column before, the column after, you have empty lines in between, which is a psucha where it doesn't belong, and you have all the Osiris Gedolos, which is not supposed to be. Not supposed to be Osiris Gedolos. I don't think that passes b'dievet if you put Osiris Gedolos where it's not supposed to be. But you're Mishana from the way it's supposed to be. So the Vilna Gaon was of the opinion, has a whole Arichas in the Birag, right? He was of the opinion that the Gemara never said that the column should only consist of these 11 lines. Chamesh me'asish ve'es adalya ve'es haspasa ve'es parasa. No, the first 11 lines should be Chamesh me'asish and then Seres Bnei Haman. Then you go right there. The bottom of the column, you continue to write. He says the Gemara never meant to say that should constitute the whole column. Others are chayshish, not so. That the simple reading of the Gemara and simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch is that should be chamesh meyosir, should be on the top line, and then the last of the Aseres Bnei Haman should be on the bottom line. So you can't add on another 20 lines below the Aseres Bnei Haman. You can't have 31 lines in the column over here. It has to begin with chamesh meyosir and end with the 10th of the Aseres Bnei Haman. So that's why... That's why there are those, they're concerned about the tainus of the Vilna Gaon, that who gave you the right to make psuchas where they don't belong, who gave you the right to make osias gedolas where they don't belong, but they're afraid to do like the Vilna Gaon, to write vaita, the column on the bottom. How can you add on the column on the bottom? The simple reading of the Gemara, that should be the end of the column. So they make midas chasidus of a Megillah Esther that only has 11 lines on every column, from the beginning to the end. Normally, a Megillah has 30 lines in every column. You're only going to have 11 lines in every column. It's going to be three times as long. So it's going to be a long. It's going to have the same thing written, but it's going to be much longer. So that's Amidas Chasidus, to have such a Megillah with only 11 lines and everything, in order that one shouldn't get involved in this Machloikas, what's doing with the writing of the Aseres Bnei Haman. Yeah, let me see. The Mishnah talks about the Balkari reading the Megillah, either standing or sitting. Kars haMegillah Omid v'Yoshev. So the simple reading is that it's Mutar l'chatchila to read the Megillah Omid or Yoshev. The tour has a different girsa in the Mishnah. He says that it's only good b'dievet. The chatchila he should stand. Then the Gaonim added on that l'chatchila everybody should stand for Kriyas HaMegillah. So he always wondered, where did that one come from? Everybody should stand. The Balkari should stand out of Kavod HaTzibur. The Rambam writes, when the Balkari is laying for a tzibur, he should stand out of Kavod HaTzibur. But the whole tzibur should stand, what is that based on? So I thought perhaps it's based on the fact that we assume there's such a Midas Chasidus, the Maharam Rutenberg has such a Midas Chasidus with respect to Kriyas HaTorah. Me'ikir Adin, he also knew that there's no requirement to stand. And Rav Moshe Feinstein points out in his Chuvas that Mar Rutenberg didn't require of all the Balabatim that they should all stand. He was the only one who stood in the shul, and the Balabatim said. And if he would have thought that that's Mikra, then he would have given the Balabatim Tochocha. He would have encouraged them all to stand. It was his personal Midas Chassidus. But what was the personal Midas Chassidus? That to lane from a Sefer Torah, the Sefer Torah has the status of a Sefer Habris. When there was the Kabbalah Sater at Har Sinai, so the Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu read from a Sefer Habris in front of all of the people. Rashi comments on Chumash, what is the Sefer Habris? So he says that's from Bereshis till Pashas Yisro was the Sefer Habris. At the end of the Daboim Shono in the Midbar, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu how to put together the whole Chamisha Chumash Torah, had different drafts, different copies of each one of the mitzvahs. Each one of the mitzvahs is given three times, once in Har Sinai, and once in Al Moed, and once in Arvis Moed. And then Ribbono Shel Olam told him, take this Madura for this mitzvah, take the other Madura for that mitzvah, put it in this order. So after everything was all completed, then Moshe Rabbeinu gave the Sefer Torah to the Kohanim and Levi. He said, V'santa Moshe B'tzad Aram B'ris Hashem, V'yashom B'chol Yeit. So from now on, that's the Sefer Abris. Sefer Abris is the Chamisha Chumash Torah. So just like there was a need for a Sefer Abris at Kabbalah Sater at Har Sinai, so too the Chachamim understood that the Megillah Esther was the Sefer Abris on the occasion of the Nes Purim. The Chazal comment on the Pasuk Divishon Leemes, that the Megillah is referred to as Divishon Leemes, that is Kamito Shel Torah. It's like the real thing, the real McCoy. What's the real thing? So Rashi says, like a Sefer Torah. Rabbi Natam disagrees with Rashi. He says Kamito Shel Torah means a mezuzah. But the Achrayim point out, Yerushalmi says Beferish like Rashi. Kamito Shel Torah refers to the Sefer Torah. So apparently the Megillah Esther was the Sefer Abris on the occasion of the Kima Bekibla, the new Kabbalah Sater at that time. So maybe this is what this Midas Chassidus is all about. Just like there is a hider to stand, the Maram Rutmerk felt that that's a hider to stand at the time that you're reading from the Sefer Abris. The Krisis Bris between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael was over the Sefer Torah. So too, when you lane B'Yochidan, but when you're laning Kriyas HaMegillah B'Tzibur, the Gemara makes a distinction. If you're laning B'Tzibur, when you're laying B'Yochid, you don't have to lane from a Sefer Abris. But when you're laying B'Tzibur, Mikra Megillah, then it has to be a Sefer Abris, special dinim. The Kriyas HaMegillah is a little different if you're laying B'Tzibur and you're laying B'Yochid. So if you're laning B'Tzibur, then it's considered you're laning from a Sefer Abris. And maybe that's what the Goyim had in mind, that the correct practice should be, that everybody should stand, just like there was such a practice on Midas Chassidus to stand by Kriyas HaTar. It's a Chiddush. Shulchan Aruch, it's not mentioned. Shulchan Aruch, nobody says like that. The Mishnah Berurah writes about everybody standing. I don't remember. When I was growing up, I didn't remember until we moved to New York. I don't remember that people stood up when the Balkari said the Brochas at the beginning of Mikra Megillah. I don't remember standing up. But when we moved to New York, everybody follows the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah quoted the Machzis HaShekel, who has the commentary on the bottom of the Magen Avraham, and he says that even though the people don't have to stand for the Megillah, but they have to stand for the Brocha, that's the rule. You always have to stand when you say Birchas HaMitzvah. So many Achrayim disagree with this Machzis HaShekel. They have tainus why the Mishnah Berurah quoted it. They say you only have to stand for a Brocha on a mitzvah where the mitzvah should be done by Midah. And they have a whole asmachta, various mitzvah spheres, so it should be done by Midah, so the bracha and spheres should also be recited by Midah. Tala should be put on by Midah, so one should stand when you say the bracha and the tala. But if the Mikra Megillah can be done by Yeshiva, so then you can sit for the Birchas HaMegillah as well. Shofar, you have to stand. No, that's also part of the six mitzvahs that you have to stand for. That's what by many Sfardim, they had Kiyas de Miyushav, they would sit bedavke to demonstrate they have in mind not to be yoytze. Even though b'diyevet ye yoytze, even if you sit. But the minig was, that's what the Netziv explains. Why did they have a kpeda davke to sit by Kiyas de Miyushav? To demonstrate that they don't want to be yoytze. And what correct is, you're supposed to stand when you're yoytze tkiyas shofar. So you have to stand when you hear the brochas on tkiyas shofar. But if you're talking about Mikra Megillah, where the Pashto says there's no requirement to stand for the Mikra Megillah, there's no requirement to stand for the Bracha either. But in New York, the Mishnah Berurah became very popular, so all the rabbanim followed the Mishnah Berurah, that you got to stand for the Birchas HaMegillah. Okay, I apologize, I have a sore throat. I'll have to stop here. Afel Chem Purim. Good year.
Hey, good year. Me and Shem, we hope to leave Monday night. My mom is coming home from her home tomorrow. She'll be going back to home with 24 hours.
Very good.
I hope to see you soon. Okay. Good
job. COVID is
It's in
the
park. Okay. So the morning service brings down the Tzinopachim. But the Pesach, when it says Tzinopachim, it says, in the Farshim Taitshav, Tzina doesn't mean gold, Pachim doesn't mean heart. No, the Tzina says Tzina is pits and Pachim and traps and all of the Farshim there. Nobody says like this, except Rashi in the Tzilvus.
That's a
good one. Right. Is it someone wanted to tell me that the means it, the cold and the heart are like the tzin and the pachim, like the kurtzim and the pachim. Where do you find the word pachim means heart?
I don't know.
That's why I went to look up the passage. Yes. So this told me, hey, it doesn't even touch the cold and heart. I don't know. So.
I haven't even looked into it. Well, okay. There you go.
Thank you. The woman